Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to the E2G Sports Network, home of the unsung sports grid. Visit us at E2GSports.com and follow us across the socials for up-to-the-minute sports news. This podcast is the property of E2G Sports, LLC. Now, it's time for the show.
Hi, and welcome to the MGM Show on the Ear to the Ground Sports Network, the unsung sports grid. I'm Galen, joined by my good friend and co-host, Mike MJ. It is Wednesday, August 4th. 8 o'clock, and we are coming to you live on Blog Talk Radio on this very mild and simply pretty chill Wednesday evening. Fellas, how you guys doing tonight? Pretty good?
¿Qué pasa, mi
amigo? Fantastic.
Nice. That's good.
Muy bueno.
How was the last
another day above the ground. Another day, that's great.
Okay. Absolutely. You guys have a good week?
Midweek, hump day. Well, for some of you guys, I work weekends, so yeah, it's a good Wednesday. I just did a 7-day stretch at work, so it's good to have today off. Got my errands done. It's a rainy day though. They said something about flash flooding later on today, so I don't, you know, we're gonna be a little bit too much rain. But all in all, good week, good life. Like you say, oxygen in my lungs. Tomorrow, may I get some more?
You guys do anything
God
fun or anything?
God willing, we'll all be here tomorrow. Let's go.
Absolutely. Anything fun that you guys got a chance to do with family, friends, whatever in the last week?
No, I haven't.
Nothing?
I haven't. Have you, Mike?
I just worked 7 days. So, yeah, if you want to call that fun, then, yeah, I had a whole lot of fun the last 7 days. So I had a blast. I was just so much full of fun, man, getting a good time working my beep off. But, no, I've been working. Like I said, today was full of errands. Haven't had time. I told you, you know, each week we go down this road of you and your lavish lifestyle that you get to just chill, relax. What'd you do this week?
Yeah,
new aquarium?
That's true.
You send me
true.
Pictures of a yacht. You sent me pictures of a cocktail shrimp. Yeah, Dickie went to Foxwood to see a stand-up comic. Yeah, Cedric the Entertainer. Yeah, we all don't have no lavish lifestyle.
MGM, no, this guy's actually at the MGM Grand, like, living lavishly.
Yeah, that's where he stays. That's where he stays.
I don't know if you know,
but
Galen, I had to write for the ATG Fantasy Sports Podcast. Stop talking over me, Galen. I had to write for the ATG Sports magazine. So, hey, I had to do some work, let's not get away. Let's get in front of you going to such a thing as Tana.
Yeah, I mean, is it my fault that it just happened to be my lady's birthday that one day a year, you know what I mean, between this show and the last? She celebrated her birthday last Thursday, and the show was on Saturday. So, yeah, Mike, thanks for just letting everybody know, like it's their business. But we went and enjoyed that, did that on Saturday night.
It is their business.
Hit the floors a little bit.
We do anything fun.
Had a nice little dining experience. So it was cool. And then we came back about, you know, early afternoon, late morning, Sunday. So it was cool.
And
let me
ask you,
where do you make this money? Where do you make this money to go on these lavish, like, adventures? Like, where do you make this money?
Yeah, he's got another trip coming up in December. Where are you going? Where are you going?
Have you ever heard of just stacking your paper away and, you know, just planning for you know, whatever
it
might be on next.
That's
all
it
is. I just deposit my money, you know, I'm smart with it, you know, take out a little bit here and there. And lo and behold, week after week, at the end of the month, you know, that might be just a little bit, just enough to, you know, kind of allocate to this, do that, you know, and that's about it. Nothing out of the norm. I'm sure Mike, you know, knows what I'm talking about, but he's just a workaholic, so that's how he chooses to, you know, utilize his funds, I guess, you know, work, and work some more. But Mike, I mean, why are you like, kind of just pulling me on blast? Did I not, you know, stop in surprise fashion and say hello? I mean, I made you part of my Saturday.
You don't want to go there because, you know,
you annoyed him, Galen. You annoyed him.
We're
like, yo, why
did
you come in?
You know what?
Don't come into my place of service.
You know, thank you. You know, we have to explain it. I get this anonymous call, and it's come outside, okay? And I go, you know, I don't like peeping surprises. Don't you come by here. And it's like 15 minutes before I open. So he comes out in his, beautiful truck, nice truck, straight from 17th straight from the hotel, right, straight from the meal, okay? And he comes, and he, how you doing, buddy? And shooting, brings me a little something-something, though, that he had went when you went to Aruba. Where'd you go, Aruba?
Aruba, yeah, Aruba, back in April.
Yeah, he got me a little something, so he was holding that from the Aruba trip, so it was kind of cool. It was a great gesture, awesome surprise. You know, I hate surprises, though. I still can't stand them. I should have punched him in the face, but I had to get back to work, so.
Yeah.
I had to get back to work. He knows when he's in the safe zone.
You don't want to.
I met Mike at his job a couple months ago. Remember that, Mike? I met you at the job, but you
were expected. Yeah. We were handling it. Yeah, it was actually preparation for this show. It was actually changing the mic that I'm speaking on right now.
Yeah, that was.
That's right. It was preparation for this show. Yep, absolutely. Yeah, that's it.
All right, guys. Well, let's start us off. Mike, per usual, give us tonight's starting lineup, please.
Ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to our Wednesday, August 4th show tonight, the MGM show, where Grand will be talking about USA men's basketball test team led by, some would say, the best Indian player right now, KD. They advanced to the semifinals where they play Australia. Is KD going to go down as the best USA player of all time in Olympic action? Could be. Miss Simone Biles comes back after dropping off the competition a week earlier to compete on the last day of the finals to win the bronze for the Team USA. What will this do for her legacy moving forward? And I'm sure we'll all have a strong opinion on that. Local teams doing next to nothing as teams are moving up and down. Basketball, the NBA, the Major League Baseball, all moving trade deadlines, pushing players left and right. But the Red Sox and the Celtics themselves, not so much. The Red Sox did make a couple of moves. Celtics actually quiet at both the trade deadline free agency. Should we have expected more from both teams? And understanding with the lack of aggressive mindset from the prospective front office. Then we were going to have our first ever with the NFL right around the corner, our fantasy football question. We will basically get a question from friends, families, foes, rivals, strangers, and we will do our best to answer the question. And then we will close out with our final thoughts.
Yes, thank you for that, Mike. And just like you hit on your first bullet point, that's exactly where we're going to begin tonight. Team USA, they made it some way, somehow, to the semifinal matchup. They probably play, in the morning time, I believe. But, yeah, at some point tomorrow. The semifinal is tomorrow. What did you say? What did you say,
they
Andre?
Play tonight, their time. They're going to play tonight. So when we wake up, they'll be playing. So.
Yeah.
Or the ending. Or on that time over.
Very late. I can't quite understand time frame. But, it's definitely different. At some point tomorrow. But USA got there. beating Spain.
I can't at the same time. Who knows?
Exactly. USA was able to find a way beating Spain just yesterday. Trailed by 10. It came from behind with the utmost sort of help, stardom by one Kevin Durant. I mean, where would this team, MJ, I know that you were feeling pretty confident predicting that USA would find a way to get gold per usual every 4 years like they tend to do. But I feel like this team, again, I mean, they're winning comfortably, but they're not winning, I feel, with the same sort of dominant, USA, NBA sort of game, sticking it to their Olympic opponents and stuff like that. And I feel like if it wasn't for Kevin Durant, then, some of these 10, 14-plus win games, I mean, they may be single digits or maybe just losing in heartbreak fashion. And I feel like this year would be probably anything but a year that they would find a way with gold. But I think if they do get gold, I mean, it's with definitely no short thanks to one Kevin Durant. Wouldn't you say?
Well, you got me confused with somebody else because a couple of weeks ago I think we discussed this, and
yeah.
I said no, they would not, they would not get the,
they
would not
get
the goal. I'm pretty sure I was advocate. I was really advocate.
I was the one who said they get the goal.
I'm sorry.
Mike was the one.
It was Mike. Okay, I got y'all confused. My fault.
Yeah, and I still, I mean, the team just doesn't have the pizzazz as all the other teams have. Like, Kevin Durant is obviously the Jordan. He's the LeBron. He's the guy that's facilitating the team. He's the guy. He's the anchor of the whole squad. But at the end of the day, at this point in time, like, there's so many other teams and so many other countries that have players that play in this league today and are players that are coming up in the league later on. And I just don't think that this team, as currently constructed with Durant, Lillard, Tatum, that sounds good on an NBA floor, but on the world stage and when all the chips are on the table, I just don't trust them. So I like that they've gotten this far. Obviously, they're playing Australia tonight, and I think Australia's I don't say an easy one because obviously they couldn't beat France. Evan Fournier and Rudy Gobert kicked their asses, but when I see gold medal teams, when I look at this team, I don't feel gold medal. Like, you saw that in 92, you saw that in 2008. Like, when you look at the team, you can just see, oh my God, gold medal. That's it. That's a championship right there. But this one just, they can get a gold medal, but it'll feel like a false gold medal for me. That's just my
opinion. 100%. I agree with that. Mike?
I think that's wrong. I say this about the basketball team. I agree with you that they don't have the pizzazz and the firepower and I want to say the hype behind it. I think the Olympics as a whole does not have the hype behind it.
I hate the Olympics.
This year. The Olympics has always been known as boring to us as Americans, to be totally honest. We keep track of the medal count. All of us look and see where we are with medals, and I think that's the most important thing. As far as the basketball team itself goes and them winning a gold, I do still disagree, and I think they still are the best team. You're right with the NBA players in the playing on the other countries. Have lost this full, including the one that they're playing on Thursday morning, Austria, with Patty Mills and Joe Ingles, Matthew Dellavedova, Dante Zoom, and a few more. They have it. And I think that, I think because of the revenge factor, because if you remember, this team beat the United States in the exhibition match roundup, and they beat them one time before. I actually think the United States is 1-2, I think, but in actual tournament play, they haven't lost against this team. And I think there's a revenge factor with the game coming back because this is the first team to make the USA basketball team question their ability. So I think that there's a revenge factor, so I think this is a win. I see it by 10 or more. I'm predicting 12 if I have to go out on a limb. And I still see them getting a gold. But not, like you say, MJ, it's not a lot of push behind it. It's not a lot of pizzazz. And there's no excitement at all. But I still think this is the best team. And I think they're becoming a better cohesive unit the more they're playing together. And with two games left, I think this is the team to beat right now in the Olympics.
Do you guys want a gold medal count? I got a gold medal count for you. China is up 32. United States is down 25. And Japan is in third place.
We were
21. So that's a gold medal. Yeah. China beats us and everything.
Yeah, and you guys.
We got them in the bronze category.
You guys both make great points. I kind of agree, especially with you, MJ. I mean, they very well could go ahead and finish some way, somehow, with a gold medal, but it's just not going to feel the same, It's going to feel like they won it, scraping and clawing and almost like just by default, because like I said, it's going to begin and end with one Kevin Durant. And speaking of Kevin Durant, he had to say this about their latest victory. we got to finish it, Durant said. We're supposed to be here. For us, it's about getting the gold. If you listen and break down, you know, some of that quote right there,
no
I feel like even he, you know, is just like, we have to be better. You know, we can and need to be better, because if we slip up anymore, then, you know, clearly they're vulnerable like any other Olympic year, you know. And for them, I mean, for Team USA, and he's, again, reiterating it, they're so used to not only winning gold, but dominating and having that pizzazz, having that swag and, you know, talent, you know, head and shoulders against their level of competition in the same tournament, that, you know, it, for USA, it's like the ultimate, you know, goal to bust, you know, for basketball especially, you know. But I feel like he knows that, you know, they need to be a lot better. And if it wasn't for him, without actually crediting and patting himself on the back, I feel like he knows in his heart of hearts they're just not good enough and they don't have the usual talent.
No, I mean, that's the thing, because the whole USA basketball in the Olympics in the past, there hasn't been as much international talent coming out. Nowadays, it's kind of like they're just flowing out. Like, obviously Giannis isn't playing this year, but you got Giannis, you got Luka Doncic, you got Rudy Gobert, you got Evan Fournier, Nicholas Batum, Batum, I don't know how you probably pronounce that, but you got guys that actually are in the NBA that you see in and out, Tony Parker's of the world, Manu Ginobili's. These guys are coming from different countries and playing in NBA, so we think we automatically claim them as our own when we watch them. We're like, oh, they're in the NBA, they must be our own. But they're, no, they play for these different countries. When they play all together, it's not like '92 where it was just Tony Kukoc and Scottie Pippen and Jordan were just, you know, bulldozing him and in the semis. This thing is more serious than it used to be, and the talent that it's on the USA team, yes, it's great talent. Like, I would take that team, like I said earlier, I would take that team ten times out of ten to be my actual NBA team as a Celtics fan. But that, you know, that team isn't, and we saw that with Durant in the against the Bucks. Like, Durant can't be your only, you know, your only guy to go to. You got to see some Lillard. You got to see some Lillard. You got to see some Tatum. Beal's obviously out. You can't have slums all around there like Zach LaVine and JaVale McGee. Like, who is, like, come on. Those are not Team USA guys. That's not what we've seen in the past. So yeah, the team just doesn't have that ill, and yeah.
They don't have the swag, you know. They don't have the swag, and they don't have the fear factor that the 92 Olympic team had, the dream team. They don't have that fear factor. They do have talent. I think they are talented enough. I think they actually have a lot of skills and a lot of talent. But what, I mean, they're still NBA stars and they're NBA all-stars and they're Olympians. So the talent is there. I think it's just the pizzazz, what I say, the push. And they don't have the fear factor. The other countries are in awe. I remember the Dream Team Olympics, you actually had other countries asking for autographs and taking pictures with the Jordans and the Barclays and the Magic Johnson. You know, they were in awe.
When you lose that, you lose a part of your
persona. You lose a part of your demeanor. You lose a part of your wow factor. You lose a part of that fear factor.
But it's
yes,
all COVID.
Absolutely.
You can't really get close to these guys. So, I mean, the whole fan experience has been taken away in Tokyo. So,
but
I get it. Like, the Dream Team was like the first team to actually conduct all these guys, like Jordan, like you said, Patrick Ewing, David Robinson, Barkley, Bird, Johnson, you know. So but this year it's kind of different because you can't really get near these guys. There's no fan experience. It's just basically these guys playing in a gym by themselves. And they probably, a lot of these guys, like we've seen during the whole NBA season, these guys feed off of that energy. We don't have that energy. They have no, they feel like they're playing for nothing, but just, you know,
I get it, MJ. But I just
feel like they need that rah, that, you know, that those cheers to actually get up and get going.
But I think to Mike's larger point was, it's just like, okay, let's pretend that there was no COVID. Just look at the guys that make up this USA team as opposed to all the many USA teams before them. You're just not fearing these guys in the same light. You know, you're not starstruck.
No,
you're not in awe.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So I feel like, yeah, they can't really go up and, like, just player for player, hey, Durant, can I get your autograph? It's not about that, but it's just like, it's Durant and the kids. That's what it feels like. You know what I mean?
But is it a bigger picture? You know, guys, listen, you know, guys, is it a bigger picture? Like, we can get a much broader horizon on this subject if we really wanted to, because when you look at passion, when you talk about the wild factors, when you talk about superstars and status, like I said, you have skilled players. Curry's amazing, one of the best players of all time. The LeBron, the freaking Kevin Durant, the Kyrie Irving. These guys are amazing athletes. The problem, I think, on a bigger horizon is that when we were in our 20s, guys, we were interested in basketball and football and out there playing it and doing it. Our stars were we were the young guys, right? Baseball too. It was much popular. All the sports were, even hockey, because we were doing it. Honestly, these finger playing, finger pushing, phone having, computer playing, gaming, whatever. And I don't want to, you know, go that route. But yeah, they're not. Of course, the passion is down because now you have a younger version of NBA players coming up, and you have foreigners, I'm sorry, people from other countries who are super NBA stars coming up. But if the interest is not from us guys, because we're the older generation, because if you notice on our show, guys, we talk a lot about the Birds. We talk a lot about the Barclays. We talk a lot about the Allen Iversons, you know. We talk about the Jim Rices, the Wade Boggs, the Roger Clemens. This is what our topics are about because these were our heroes. Now the new guys coming up should be taking on by the newer, younger generation, and they're not being embraced as much because there's not the same interest. So it's a bigger horizon.
And also because Kevin Durant's a baby, and he takes to Twitter, he bitches a lot on social media. He does a lot of things that our athletic heroes, let's not say they're not idols or whatever. They're our athletic, the people that we looked up to growing up as for athletes.
Yeah.
They didn't do that. Obviously, they didn't have the avenue to do that. But you guys, Kevin Durant arguing with people on Twitter. You guys, LeBron James posting, "I'm the king." His name is King James. It's like, back in the day, we had guys that were great, and they just how we knew they were great because they did what they did, and that was great. We were like, oh my God, Jordan's great. He is just by watching, he's great. Barkley, you just by watching him, he's great. Wade Boggs, you know, Derek Jeter, Nomar Garciaparra, Manny, like all these guys were just great because you saw them being great. Nowadays, Kevin Durant says, someone says, oh man, Kevin Durant should do this. He responds on Twitter and starts jawing at them immediately. LeBron James says, oh my God, look at my Space Jam movie.
But you still have the other guys who are not.
Get out. These guys need to sit down and shut the hell up. Like these guys.
Yeah, but you've always had LeBron strong personality.
And we have too much of them.
Huh? And we didn't like the Charles Barkley. We didn't like the Allen Iverson. We didn't like the Dennis Rodmans. We didn't like the Charles Oakleys. We didn't like those guys.
The Bill Lambert, the
Bad Boys in Detroit. It was fine. We had that. Always had that personality. Yeah. We've always had those personas. We've always had those egos. But then you still have the Steph Curry, the superstars who are doing it on the field that are quiet about it.
Steph Curry's he's a different breed. Steph Curry's a different breed. He was a married man before he even came out of college. He was already with.
No,
you
still have the Russell Wilson
of college,
the world.
So.
Once again, doing it on the field, but very humble.
Yeah,
Russell Wilson.
Well, guys,
he got married and then he got divorced and then he went to Sierra. But I mean, Russell Wilson, that's a different story. Russell Wilson's a different guy, dude.
That's
a different story for a different day.
We
could definitely talk about this for a while.
Wayne's
a different
guy.
I mean,
yeah.
Comparing the current team to the past and stuff like that, and you know, just who's legitimate, who isn't, stuff like that. Which team do you fan? Which team you don't? But let's just proceed. A big part of obviously that comeback was go figure. MJ favorite Durant himself, 29 points, 13 of those coming in a game changing third quarter. But that's enough about that. I mean, I think they'll be fine. I think they'll solidify the gold.
Enough about that, Galen. Let's go even further. Just kidding.
I don't know. We've covered quite a bit. We've covered quite a bit. But staying with the Olympics, Simone Biles made a lot of head waves, you know, especially looking back about a week or so ago, a week and a half ago, with her dropping
Let's
out
do
of
5 minutes on
this.
Let's do five
a week
minutes.
Earlier.
I'm not going to do any more than 5 minutes.
Competition a week earlier to compete on the last day of finals. She came back to compete on the last day of finals to win a bronze for Team USA. I just want to know, did you guys happen to, you know, feel for Simone and her decision about a week or so earlier? Do you agree? Do you disagree? What will this do for her legacy moving forward, you think?
Who's first, Galen?
Mike, you start us off.
You know, I didn't want to be insensitive about it, but no, I didn't feel for her. I wasn't sensitive at all about her plight and her story and her and what she was explaining what was wrong with her. And there was a couple of reasons why. And I'm going to sound like an insensitive male, and I don't want to hear all the haters and all the females, because it's not about being a female. It's not about that. It's about being an Olympian. That's the issue I have. This woman has trained her whole entire life for this event only. Only. Okay? Only. So being on the big stage, she has shown, what I think she has, 19 titles before? 19 gold medals or something to that effect? She has shown she can do it. She knows she has the ability to do it and can do it. And can do it. So it's not about that, but it's about this is what you trained your whole life for to do. Now, I am not a medical expert. I'm hearing controversy and two conflicting stories. I'm hearing something that it was more physical called the twisties, and then I'm also hearing something that it was more mental, emotional, and issues there. So I'm not sure which one or which story is true. So I'll address the twisties first.
A little bit of both.
I don't know.
You went 2 for 2. You went 100%. You were both on, right on
the twisties. Yeah.
Twisties
so
and mental.
We'll go with
yep.
the twisties. I'm reading into what twisties are. I'm hearing that it's true that it happens to a lot of Olympians when they get up there, they get lost in the air. I am scared of heights. I get what you call the fearies and the dizzy. Okay, I don't like heights. I ain't big on it. But this
the
is
dizzy?
Your profession.
You just make that up.
Okay. So this is her, you know, her profession, and this is what she does. So I can't, you know, address something I'm not totally informed about, but I will give an opinion. Once again, you are trained. This is your life. This is your goal. This is what you blow up for. The world has looked at you to lead us to gold. You have been put on such a stage and have been worshipped. Now, people look at her, and then let me address the other, mental issues. Everyone has these mental issues. Everyone goes through it. It's an emotional roller coaster. It's hell. People have been depressed. People have committed suicide. It's a serious topic. I fully understand that. But once again, you are an Olympian. And you are one of the most mentally strong people on the planet, next to doctors, engineers, surgeons, and astronauts. Olympians are mentally strong. Like I say, I'm not totally informed. People are feeling sorry because of her stature and her demeanor, being 4'8 and looking like she's 12. This woman is 24 years old and worth $6 million. Okay? She's a grown woman, a professional, and an athlete. If this was Michael Jordan, LeBron James, if this was a goalie for the Bruins, if this was a superstar that we had worth $6 million, we would be upset, all of us, if this was our starting quarterback of our NFL team at 24 years old. So I'm not feeling the vibe out, poor her. Then when you do come out, You get a bronze because there's no twisties on the floor because you get the rollies down there. So whatever happened, that you end up getting the bronze. The world have worshipped her, the Olympic world, everyone. She's the greatest. Simone. And you choked. I call it the chokies is what my personal opinion is. Not the twisties, it's the chokies. So
you got the dizzies
that's
and
just
the chokies.
How I feel. But that's how I feel about it all. Like I say, 24 years old, worth $6 million. You pulled out of the event. You didn't support your Olympic team, and they didn't get the gold. They got the silver, and you bailed out on them. And no, you didn't. And so for the individual, for your individual performance in competition, you come up bronze. No, I guess I'm sorry. I'm not. I am a little maybe insensitive. Call it what you want, but it's how I feel.
Go ahead, MJ.
I mean, I agree to a extent. Like, with the whole, like, you when you put it to the whole team aspect, like when you put it to like a quarterback that if you know, back in the day, Tom Brady said, "Oh, I can't perform. I have to leave. I have to do this." Then that, yeah, obviously, that would obviously upset us, and we'd be like, "Oh, we'd all go in, you know, and up people wondering why, like, why is this, why is that?" I don't know enough about gymnastics, Olympic-wise, or even, you know, just everyday-wise. I know that this is the sport. This is their Super Bowl, basically. The Olympics. When you get to this point, this is where you're supposed to perform. You're supposed to get to that pinnacle. Simone Biles has been there before. She did that in 2016. She's been at the top of her game, and she's been on Wheeze boxes. She's been so many marketing things. I've seen so many commercials with her and her sister and Allie Raisman, you know, a local girl from Needham. So I there's a part of myself that wants to feel for her. I get where Mike is coming from, because I think that she needs to. This is it for you. Like when you work so hard to do something. Simone Biles, this is your moment. This is all you've worked to do. Like anything else that's happened in the past, that's it. She's also had a lot of stuff that's gone on to her since her rise to fame in 2016. Obviously, Larry Nassar, the gymnast from Michigan, that they had a sexual assault charges that, you know, the whole gym squad had. So she's been going through that. She was one of the females that was a victim of that issue. So she's been going through that mentally. And the twisties, they call it. The yips is basically what a golfer has, what a pitcher has, what a hitter has in baseball. That stuff, it's easy to say when you're a golfer, when you're a batter. When you're twisting yourself in the air, when you're in the middle of the, when you're in the midst of doing something, just like twisting yourself, none of us know what that's like. Because obviously we can never do that. Imagine being in the middle of an air and not knowing what to do after that. Just being numb to it. Just being just like, I may get paralyzed after that. So I get where she's coming from. There's a lot going on in her mind, and I'm a victim. I don't say victim, but I do go through mental. I'm a victim of stress, mental health, depression. We all go through it at some point. You guys go through it, and if you say no, then you're lying. It's tough. It's really tough to actually pinpoint and say she's wrong or she's right for doing what she did. But I honestly think that I said a lot of stuff just now, and that I had no point to it, but I, you know.
No, you had a lot of points. Actually, you probably just got lost in what you're saying, but you are.
It's bad to call out someone's mental health, because when you do that, you're pulling on a very thin line, and when you call out someone's mental awareness, it's very ignorant, I feel.
Well, I feel this way, MJ, you know, and like I said, I don't want to touch on the mental aspect, but as far as the twisties go, as far as getting lost in the air, I'm not saying that that was hype or made up or whatever. I mean, that came after her performance, which she didn't do very well. Then she stated the twisties, but in retrospect, you can say the things that you're saying about getting lost in the air and thinking about breaking your spine or being paralyzed. You're absolutely right for saying all that. Kudos to you. But you haven't spent your life since you were 3 years old practicing it. But take whatever, you know, my professional is in the restaurant business. If a piece of equipment goes down, I'm not going to get the twisties and forget what I'm supposed to do, because pretty much my life I've been working in this industry and have faced everything that I've been trained to face as far as fires, equipment going on, people getting injured, people cutting their fingers off, people getting burned in the face with like Galen getting their hands burned, people drop dead and people having heart attacks in my ass.
Well, Galen,
I mean,
yeah,
Galen burnt his hair. I don't want to get into it.
I was an absolute Spartan.
I've been prepared to handle everything in those crucial situations. So when I see these and they still happen, just the other day I had a man cut his hand bad, and pretty much I had to wrap him, bandage him, and send him on to the emergency room. So what I'm saying is, when you have the right for you to get lost in the air, you have the right for you to have the fear of getting paralyzed, you have the right for you to not know what you're supposed to do or being a fear of height. You have never done it, and you have never practiced doing it. It's not your life. Mm-hmm. But it will come a time that you will look back and say, oh, I've been doing this for 20 years. I am a professional at this. And you should not, and when you, and you are trained to be in the fire, you are trained to be put in that spotlight. That is what your training is for. The stage, the biggest stage, is what you are trained for. It's no different than an actor going on Broadway and getting the muties, can no longer speak, can no longer, you know, if Cedric the Entertainer came out and looked at Galen and didn't say a word and got the quieties. You know, this is what you're trained to do. The center stage.
It's like a New York City firefighter saying, he sees the World Trade Center on fire. He says, oh, I got the yips, dude. I can't do this right now. And walks away.
Well, if he put out
six fires already, six infernals, and did well doing
it, 19 infernals.
If he had 19 infernals he put out, absolutely, I expect him to be able to do the 20.
Like, yo,
I expect him to perform
right now.
Well, what I would say is, I mean, Mike is taking a pretty hard stand. MJ trying to, I guess,
I went to
9/11
route. That was cool for me, and
can relate to some of it. I would say, you know, this whole thing, number one, was pretty alarming because she clearly caught the interest of everyone. I mean, fellow, you know, stars in their respective sports. I mean, you got the LeBron James of the world, like, you know, just the absolute best of the best coming out, you know, in waves and stuff like that.
Everybody wants to be politically correct, and just really
showing like her support. I feel like, you know, even more so to the casual fan and the everyday person, I could see, I think, where a lot of their support was coming from, because I feel like not too many times do we ever see stars really kind of show their true self and admit to really what they're thinking and going through, and sometimes in obvious fashion, like we see with Simone, where it's just like, you know, I don't know right now if I can continue if I can't do it at the highest level. I mean, granted, like, you know, yeah, she's been, you know, practicing and training for this her whole upbringing, and she's already been through a few Olympics and stuff like that. So this isn't her first rodeo, but I feel like if you just feel like there's something there holding you back, not too many times have we seen someone of her caliber just like, yeah, like, I'm going to have to take a step out of the limelight or whatever, get my mind right, because I feel like when the news first broke, I thought she was done. You know, there was no way we were going to see her again. And then here we are a week and a half later. She does come back. She, you know, didn't do anything magnificent, winning gold or silver.
Well, that made it worse. So that made it worse to me. So that is my theory.
She should not
have performed anywhere else. You should have just said that was it, left, and let someone else go. Right, you don't, because when you came back, you didn't perform well, and now you get a no. You just leave.
Imagine if she would have won the gold.
But how can you say that she didn't perform well? There's many other competitors than just the top three.
Right.
You know what I mean?
No,
there's only three.
What I'm saying.
No, I
shouldn't have to say that.
right.
Oh, okay. I get that. But what I will say is that bronze medal just added to her, you know, obviously success of, you know, a few Olympics now in counting, giving her 7 medals to her credit, tying Shannon Miller, who's right there along with Simone, the most decorated Olympian in American gymnastic history. They both have 7 medals, and Simone has 4 gold medals,
okay,
to only 2
all
Shannon
right.
Miller. So, you know what I mean? I mean, right now, I just think it's a courageous comeback. Like I said, I thought there was no way she was going
to
come back. I thought there was no way she was going to come back. So the fact that she came back, she got right, and she got over those twisties or whatever and made something out of nothing, I think it's a big win. But, hey, guys, listen, you know, you're listening to the MGM show. I'm Galen, joined by Mike and MJ. It is 8:40. We're coming to you live East Coast time on the Unsung Sports Grid, the E2G Sports Network. We're just going to go over real quick the local teams. The trade deadline for baseball came and went. The Red Sox are in prime position, so hopefully make some significant moves. But I feel like, at least in the AL East, speaking anyway, we saw the Blue Jays make some, you know, significant moves, the Yankees and the Rays, and the Red Sox did something, landed Kyle Schwarber, but then made a couple of minor moves. And then looking back, we already have arguably the game's best DH and JD Martinez. Now we got basically a second one of those guys in Kyle Schwarber. I mean, he does have some outfield and stuff like that, but they needed a starter. Mike loves his pitching when it comes to baseball. And
I thought
Scherzer
was a good
maybe,
pickup. You guys don't like that pickup? You don't?
No,
you
no,
guys
no.
Don't like that?
Screw that.
No.
We didn't need Schwarber.
Like, why? He is a big pickup, Mike, but just you don't really need an outfield.
No, he's not. He's
that,
injured.
In outfield.
He's injured.
Okay, MJ, but he'll be
the
back.
Guy,
you know what I mean?
And
he came up once upon a time as a catcher. You don't need that. You know what I mean? That's even if he can still play catcher. So what I'm hearing is, yeah, he may play the outfield position, I guess, if and when needed. But it sounds like they're going to try and make something as of this point in time out of nothing. They really need a first baseman. They're going to see if they can get him some reps there, hopefully get him to figure it out on the fly, because really, I think if he shows any sort of signs of, you know, competency at first base, he'll probably end up being their first baseman, but I'm not betting on it. MJ?
No, I just don't see what, like, Chaim Bloom missed the perfect opportunity. The team was on a roll prior to the trade deadline. Obviously, they've lost 4 in a row going after the trade deadline. They got swept by the Rays, which is, you know, they're a division rival. And they did nothing to make their team better. They didn't add any kind of pitching. They obviously added some guys, like back-end guys, like Austin Davis, and some guys that maybe can help in the future. But Chaim Bloom is still working on this Tampa Bay Rays mentality. It's trying to save money and work in this whole financial scheme, and we're like, oh, we can save money by getting this guy, and we can put him at this position, when never knowing that he can actually play that position. The Kyle Schwarber thing, he's played outfield. He only played 25 games of catcher in the major leagues. That's not enough to actually rely on him as your backup catcher. This guy's been in the league.
And they don't even need that.
He's been in the league for almost 8 to 9 years right now. This guy needs to be, like, viable at a certain position. First base was the position you needed. Bobby Dalbec is not the guy. Bobby Dalbec is horrible. His offensive game is horrible. His batting average is not equipped for being a guy that can actually maintain to be in the lineup. Like Kyle Schwarber, Anthony Rizzo would have been the perfect pickup. If they would have got Anthony Rizzo and nothing else, I would have been fine. They got Kyle Schwarber, who's an outfielder primarily, maybe a DH. You already have a DH, and you already have a ton of outfields. So what's the point? Everyone else got better. The National League got extremely better. Padres, Dodgers, Giants, they all acquired talent that can actually take them to the next step. The Red Sox stood pat. The Rays, out of all teams, got guys like Nelson Cruz. The Yankees got Rizzo and Gallo from the Rangers and the Cubs. And what did you do, Red Sox? This is your moment. You're already – you were on cloud nine. You guys were the top of the AL. You guys were going to, you know, make a run like 2013. You guys surprised everybody. And you did nothing because Chaim Bloom was so scared to get rid of little prospects, the little prospects that are in his farm system because he wants to build them. He wants to build them so we can do what? Not, you know, come up short in the ALCS, come up short in the ALDS. Like, what is this? Chaim Bloom is not cut out for this market, and neither is John Henry, for that matter. If John Henry is going to make a guy do this, then John Henry needs to leave Boston, sell the team, because Boston does not want a guy who's going to be penny pinching for players anymore. That's not what we want. We did that for so long. This town is thirsting for success. We have 12 championships since 2001. We don't want guys in the Red Sox front office to be saying, "Oh, we got to save money. We can't hit the luxury tax." No, if you're gonna penny pinch, then you get the F out, get out. I don't want you as my owner, and I don't want you as my GM. Get out and get somebody else here that he cares for the team, like a Robert Kraft, someone who is from Boston who cares for the Red Sox organization. I am done with John Henry, Larry Lucchino, Tom Warner. Hi, I'm Bloom. I hope you guys hear that. Screw you guys.
I can't agree with you more, MJ. I think you made a lot of great points and a lot of what you just had to say there. Just in short, basically, the Red Sox have turned into a de facto big market city. Not team, big market city, you know, located in a big market city. But they are the definition of, you know, building, playing small ball and just being extremely analytical to no end and going that route and operating like a true small market team. Like a la, like MJ had to say, the Tampa Bay Rays, which is where Chaim Bloom came from. I don't think all hope is lost for Chaim Bloom, but yeah, I mean, I kind of do want to build up this farm system as opposed to where it was just 2-3 years ago. But I also would like to potentially be in it, possibly pursue and chase a title if the team deems that, like, you know, there's something there, you know, to really just rally around. I feel like you could have plucked a prospect or two and made even more significant changes, but no, they went completely to the left and just like, nope, we're going to continue to stop whatever little bit that we've been able to, you know, kind of build here in the farm system, and we're just going to take a hard pass minus Kyle Schwarber, like MJ was saying, we didn't really need, and we'll just watch everybody else in the division, not name them, Baltimore Orioles, just kind of get after it, and we'll just be happy like, you know, this is Tampa Bay Rays 2.0.
Okay, listen, give me a couple minutes here. If you're talking about just the trade moves, because you're bouncing back and forth everywhere, now let's go focus. If we're going to focus on one subject, let's talk about the trade. If you're talking about moves and non-moves for the Red Sox, then yeah, they did stand pat. They didn't make any major moves. They're probably in the closest division right now in baseball in the East. You know, some would debate out West, where I think, yeah, actually the National League East is probably as close as well. But with that being said, I get it. Tampa Bay is in first place. New York made some really significant moves. It's only five and, I think, half games behind you, four and a half, whatever. The Red Sox didn't make any major moves. But when you talk about Larry Lucchino, when you talk about Henry, you talk about people who have won World Series here in Boston. They know. This hiding Reich or hiding Bloom, this is the major change and a significant change in the Red Sox organization. His perspective is to build a farm system. The Red Sox needed a farm system built. They didn't have anything to come up from their farm systems to be successful. They didn't have a lot of per capita to make moves. They do want to have a strong base behind them. They're not, I mean, they're a game and a half out of first place, you guys. I mean, you still are contending. You're asking for to be a contender, but to build this farm system as well, and to have, they're doing that. They're doing exactly what you want your organization to do. They're not going out and spending big money. What are they, the second highest payroll probably in Major League Baseball, or third? They're always top three. I mean, they're still spending, and they have a competitive field team that they're putting on the field that is contending and was in first place before this five-game losing streak. So you're getting what you want, and I'm not a Red Sox fan. You're getting what you want from your organization. They're being successful.
Who are your
you
fans,
guys just want... Well, I like the Yankees. I like
oh,
the
my
Yankees.
God,
I'm not
Mike. You just keep
I'm not
coming
passionate.
And coming. You just keep
Listen,
coming and coming.
Hey,
with the
I'm in third place.
You're
I'm in third place.
Cowboys,
okay?
Lakers, it's... and Yankees. Oh, my God. What do you live on, cloud nine?
Hey, it doesn't matter. You know, I'm not a passionate, avid Yankee fan. I'm not going to get into debates with the Yankees. I'm not going to dispute with them. I'm not. You know, I was a Red Sox fan up to a lot of the racial bias that I've heard about them over the last 5 to 10 years. So that's kind of what strayed me away from the Boston Red Sox as an organization. You know, so to be honest with you, you know, when I pick my teams, it's strong points that I pick. So I'm not passionate about the Yankees. I'm not going to be a diehard Yankee fan. You know, I'm still learning the organization and the team. But and I was a Red Sox fan up to possibly maybe 3 or 4 years ago, to be honest with you. So, you know, I still root for them. I still look
at
them. I just told you, you know, I got tired of all that stuff that's behind the scenes. I got tired of hearing all of it, you know, and representing my culture and my people. I felt like, you know, I couldn't support that type of organization unless I saw significant changes in what they're doing with their status and with the, you know, the persona that they have here in Boston. So, you know, but that's another day, another time. I think the Red Sox are a good organization. I think they still are contending. I still think they still are putting a great product on the field. Other than this five-game winning streak, they were in first place. And like I said, this front office and this higher-up hierarchy has won you guys 3 World Series. So, I mean, they know what they're doing.
Four.
Yeah.
But... yeah, I mean, so we all have our opinions. I feel like
you guys
just
being
spoiled. I'd be beyond frustrated for obvious reasons. Mike is just a little bit more neutral with it, and that's fine. That's cool. We all have our opinions. But if you think that's bad, Celtics fans, you guys can't be saying anything. You've literally just taken a backseat altogether, and everybody and anybody. We're seeing guys moving, signing, whatever, and the Celtics just like, stay out of Boston. Not interested. They have done absolutely nothing. So, I mean, not to say that they really have the means to do so. It seems like they're fully kind of gearing up for 2022. Hopefully it was worth it because for right now, it just seems like they're going to finish middle of the pack, and that's going to be a Boston Celtics upcoming year. So, but with that, guys, we're – got a few minutes left to go. Mike, apparently there's a change, a new segment on the horizon. What do you got for us?
Well, you know, it's just, okay, folks. So pretty much, you know, with the NFL right around the corner, or actually training camp has opened officially, welcome back. You know, we do a lot of football talk here, and so a big perspective behind the NFL is, of course, fantasy football. So we, as a group, get a lot of questions from our friends or families or coworkers or rivals or division foes, whatever it is. And, you know, I've been hit with a lot of questions lately about the upcoming season and things that people want to know, you know. And like I say, I'm not a professional. It's just an opinion, you know, and it's my opinion, and I think we are a little bit more advanced, so I think that, you know, the questions that will become will be basic, and I figured that we as a group and as a panel could answer, you know, maybe one or a couple of questions we have. So my first question tonight is from a local friend of ours who is, question state, welcome guys to the MGM show. I am in a PPR league, 10-team PPR league. I am in a keeper league. I am keeping 2 of the top 15 running backs. I have this year's first round draft pick. I have the option of trading down within the top 5 rounds and receiving a 3rd round pick as resolution. So this person would receive a top five first round pick and a third round pick for their first round pick, or should they keep Stan Pat and go running back or quarterback with the first pick? And I assume that this person thinking quarterback would be Patrick Mahomes.
Who is the who is their keepers? Who are the two keepers?
Her keepers, she said, isn't her keepers with two top 15. I think one was Akers, and I'm not sure who the other one was. I think
Cam Akers, he's already in, he already tore his Achilles, so he's out for the year. So, so they would trade. So she would get a top five pick. She would get a top five pick
because she won't trade lower than five. So she would get a top five pick and a third round pick as well.
I'd stand pat. Like she has, honestly, as good as it sounds, like I'd stand pat. Like
you'd
it sucks, but that's a lot to give up. And obviously, if Cam Akers is a keeper, I'd tell her right now, stop, because Cam Akers already is out for the year. So maybe look at what's
coming. And Eckler was the other. Eckler, I think, was the other keeper.
Eckler still, yeah, I'd still keep Eckler. I think he has a lot of good PPR. Especially it's a PPR, so he has a very high motor. As long as he stays healthy, obviously he's had some injury history, but I like Eckler as kind of like that pass catching back. But yeah, I honestly I'd stand pat. That's all I want to give up. Top five is really, you know, there's a lot of running backs coming out. There's Kamara, McCaffrey, Henry. So you can get another back, but I feel like you're just giving up too much. Because you're gonna feel it later on. Picking in the top five is so overrated in fantasy football, I feel, in my personal opinion. It's just
because you
wait so long, you get so boggled by these guys like Derrick Henry, Christian McCaffrey, and then your whole team is just boggled by nonsense after that. So, you know, just look at our companion Sean. We've seen him pick number one overall, and his team suck after that. So, yeah, you know, look at his roster.
That's a very valid point.
I said I would stand pat. Like I said, I wasn't too sure on the second running back. But I said if you did have two top 15 running backs, I would stay pat because running back position constantly get injured. You can never have too many running backs. But don't bank it all on that top pick either to be the say-all and end-all. I agree with you. I don't believe any, a top pick can not win you your championship, but it can lose you your championship. You know, and that's the way I look at that top five. It can't win you a championship, but it can lose you. You know, we all know it takes the entire draft. We also know it takes injuries and it takes some luck. But I said I would stand pat. As far as the quarterback market goes, I know there's a big market, especially in our league, for Patrick Mahomes. But if you really look at the numbers, there's three or four that are not too far from him. So I personally as well agree with you, MJ. I would stand pat. Davis?
Yeah, no, I mean, I kind of tend to agree. I'm not really big on trading unless I really have to. Like MJ was saying, it's just probably enough value there. I would just err on the side of caution, probably play it safe and just stand pat as well. But with that, I mean, I love the change in transition from the what had been the truth segment. To now the fantasy focus, it is that time of year. It's back full force, just growing.
Mike, when are keepers due? In August 6th?
Getting ready for some preseason ball.
Keepers because Mike, let's keep the listeners aware. Mike has a whole league. We're all in Mike's league, and all our keepers are due by Friday, right?
Yep, the 6th.
It's August 6th.
Yep.
August 6th.
I mean, it's on the website. Like I said, it's not in front of me right now, but I think it was supposed to be by
All right, guys.
I cut my keepers in the other day,
seconds.
But I stopped it.
10 seconds. That's about it. That's all we have for tonight. Mike, thanks for that. Guys, it was a great show. We'll see everybody next week.
Goodbye.
We're grand.